Just one little service note this morning. It appears that we have a visitor in church today. Not necessarily an important visitor, but one that has wings and flies around. So when Mr. Rose came in and flicked the lights on and all that, it seems that there's a starling or some kind of bird. Maybe it's a bat. I don't know. But we have a guest in here this morning. So if you see some swooshing and some swooping, you know, you've got a bulletin. So put your head on your head. Just be on the safe side. But let us begin our service this morning with the singing of our opening hymn, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, March 22nd, 2026 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Ken Richard, Diane Breen, and Casey Jones. The opening hymn is number 819, Sing Praise to God, the Highest Good, hymn number 819 in the Lutheran Service Book. Bill Schaub is sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in memory of Lori Schaub's birthday on March 16th. The Don Miller Memorial is sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God.
Thank you.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy.
If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope.
Soul waits for the Lord, more than watchman for the morning, more than watchman for the morning.
O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption.
And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship in praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, by your great goodness, mercifully look upon your people, that we may be governed and preserved evermore in body and soul. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is from the book of the prophet Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, beginning at the first verse. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. it was full of bones. And he led me around among them, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Then he said to me, Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinew upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a sound, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them. But there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost, we are clean cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves, and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people. And I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. I have spoken, and I will do it, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the third petition?
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
What does this mean?
The good and gracious will of God is done even without our prayer. But we pray in this petition that it may be done among us also.
How is God's will done?
God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil, the world, and our sinful nature, which do not want us to hallow God's name or let his kingdom come. And when he strengthens and keeps us firm in his word and faith until we die, this is good and gracious will.
The epistle reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at the first verse. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the verse. Gospel according to St. John, the 11th chapter. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent to him, saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, This illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, Let us go to Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and you're going there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he had meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, Your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying in private, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Now when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. So the Jews said, See how he loved him? Some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. If there are any children this morning who'd like to come down front for the children's message, you're invited to do so now. Well, good morning. Morning. So, in our reading about Jesus and Lazarus, there is the shortest verse in the Bible. And that verse is, Jesus wept. What does wept mean? Do you know what? Do you have any idea what wept means? No? Well, it means that Jesus cried. Have any of you ever cried? Have you cried? Yeah. And when do we cry?
When we're sad.
When we're sad. Exactly, when we're sad. And Jesus was very sad. He was very sad because his friend Lazarus had died. Now, this tells us something, that Jesus is true God. Yes, that is so true. But he is also a true man. That means he's a true human being. And that means that Jesus feels emotions just like you do and I do. He feels emotions of joy and happiness, and he even got angry a couple times when he chased the money changers out of the temple. But he also gets sad. He's sad again because his friend Lazarus has died. And he was so sad that he cried. But Jesus also, because he is God in the flesh, is able to do something that we are not able to do. Now, maybe we haven't had a friend who has died or anything like that, but we might have had a dog or a cat or something we have that died, and that makes us sad. We might know a person who's passed away or who's died, and yes, that makes us sad. The thing is that we can't wake them up. We can't give them back their life, can we? We can't have them get up, and no, we can't do that. Jesus can, though. Jesus is the one who is able to Yeah, he's the one who's able to do everything with his very word. And he said, take the stone away from the grave. And his Lazarus' sister was like, oh, no, we don't want to do that. It's not going to smell good. And he said, take the tomb away. And when the stone that was in front of the tomb, the door was off, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come out. And what did Lazarus do? Did Lazarus stay in the grave? Or did Lazarus come out of the grave? Yeah.
He came out.
He came out of the grave. He sure did. And this shows us that Jesus has the authority of life, to give life to people. And that's exactly what he did. He gave life back to Lazarus. And this tells us that Jesus has the authority to lay down his own life, which he did on the cross, and to raise it up again, which he did 3 days later. And we're getting close to that time when we will remember those days. On Good Friday, Jesus will die on the cross. And as Jesus dies on the cross, he is put in a grave also. But what day will Jesus rise from the grave? What day is that? That day is Easter. It's Easter Sunday when Jesus rises from the grave. And so we're getting close to that. In a couple weeks, we'll be celebrating Easter. And we will celebrate the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. Now let us remember that Jesus has friends just like you do. Jesus weeps, he cries just like you do. And Jesus has the emotions that you have. So he understands your emotions and he understands who you are and what you go through and everything you about your life. And we thank God that Jesus came into our world to be a man for us, to live for us, to die for us, and to rise again for us. Let's close with a prayer. Dear Jesus, we know you loved your friend Lazarus very much, so much so that you cried at his death. We pray, O Lord, that you would comfort all of us who mourn and weep when our friends are sick or when our friends die and our loved ones die. And we pray that you would keep us ever in mind of the life you give to us through your word. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming down. If you would, go ahead and return to your seats, and we will continue with the singing of the next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 752. Be Still My Soul, hymn number 752 in the Lutheran Service Book.
The sermon text for this, the fifth Sunday in Lent, is from today's gospel reading. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Thus far the words of our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus, in his person, is the resurrection and the life. That is what the text before us is about. Jesus is God. He has the authority over life and death. And so the text isn't specifically about Jesus raising Lazarus from the grave. The text is not about the faith of Mary and Martha. Instead, this text is pointing us to the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. John here points out to us just who Jesus is. He is God in the flesh. The raising of Lazarus will not be just a mere demonstration of divine power. Instead, it is the resurrection of Lazarus is to make solid or demonstrate the central Christological claim that Jesus himself is the resurrection and the life. In raising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus makes it evident what is true for all who believe in him. Namely, that union with him, with Jesus, as the Christ of God, saves from that death which is spiritual and eternal. Whoever believes in Jesus will never die forever. This lets us know that there is a forever death, there is an eternal death for those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. As beings who are both physical and spiritual, when we die, our physical bodies cease working. They stop working. They cease to function. But our spirit lives on, awaiting the day of the resurrection. When believers die, they shall be resurrected to eternal life. And the unbeliever will be resurrected to eternal death. There is no ceasing to exist. There is no annihilation. There is only life in the glory of God, or there is being cast into the outer darkness where there is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Of the souls of the unbelievers, Scripture declares that they are kept in prison, a place of punishment. Of the souls of believers, Scripture declares that they are not merely in God's hand, but they are with Christ in paradise. As St. Paul says, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Then there is the thief on the cross who is also told, truly I say unto you, this day you will be with me in paradise. These tell us that the souls of believers are in a state of blessed enjoyment of God in a paradise. The believers await a resurrection to a glory. The unbeliever awaits a resurrection of torment as they are cast into the lake of fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. Both Mary and Martha believe in the resurrection of the dead on the last day. The question, though, is, what is it that they believe about Jesus? And that is always the question before us. What do we believe about Jesus? Right? People say, I believe in God. Well, good, you believe in God, but what do you believe about God? And that is a very important question. And what did Mary and Martha believe about Jesus? Well, it seems that at this point they were believing that Jesus was a prophet, a man of God, a man through whom God worked to do great and mighty works. But Jesus is more than that. So we must see Jesus as the very Son of God in the flesh. He is the one who does the great and mighty works in and of himself. We must understand that it is Jesus who brings to an end the death of Lazarus, the Son of God who in his own death and resurrection breaks the power of death. Right? So in and of himself, Jesus raises Lazarus from the grave. Now, at our time in salvation history, we can see this. Why? Because we have the luxury of already having had Jesus' death and resurrection. We have already seen through the pages of Holy Scripture Jesus die on the cross and rise again from the grave for us and in our place. It is apparent to us. We know and we trust that Jesus is God. Looking at Mary and Martha and to some extent the grieving Jews in our text, they must believe Jesus to the extent that he is a prophet through whom God works. But he does not have the power in and of himself to raise somebody from the dead. Well, I mean, that's enough idle speculation on what the sisters and the Jews thought about Jesus. Because that's not the issue at hand. Here is the question at hand. Here is the issue at hand. Is Jesus himself in possession of that power and authority which is proper to God? Or does he not have that power and authority? Martha is confident of the resurrection on the last day, but she has not yet made the connection that Jesus is God in the flesh. God in the flesh is exactly who you and I understand Jesus to be. And we have that understanding from Spirit-created faith through the waters of our holy baptism and through the words of sacred Scripture. This word is the word of Holy Scripture, where we individually come to an understanding in part through the struggles and growing awarenesses of the saints that are recorded for us in the Bible, such as Mary and Martha, Thomas, Peter, and all the other saints of God as recorded in the Bible. We have the benefit of their experiences written down for us so that we can read them and hear them and come to the understanding that, yes, Jesus is exactly who he claims to be. He is God in the flesh. He is the very Son of God, the second person of the Holy Trinity. We also have the Word himself, that is Jesus, right? In the beginning, as John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him. Nothing was made that has been made without him. And so this is who Jesus is. He is the Word incarnate, the Word of creation. And he is the one who is standing outside of Lazarus's tomb. And what does he say to Lazarus's sister? Do you believe? He asks her. She says, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Right? And Jesus said, he says, your brother will rise again. And she says, I know he will rise again on the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus says those beautiful words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me will never die. And yet though he die, he who lives and believes in me shall live. Jesus comes and says, he is the one who has the authority of life and death. He is the one who can give life back to Lazarus and life back to us and life back to our loved ones. Jesus declares he is the resurrection and the life. And he does it with his great I am statement. I am. I am the resurrection and the life. And he is not speaking of the general resurrection on the last day. Rather, he is speaking right here and right now of a very particular resurrection, of a very particular man who's lying in a very particular tomb, who's been dead for 4 days. How is the resurrection of Lazarus possible? It is because Jesus is the great I am, the one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. Jesus is the God who simply is, the one who breathed the breath of life into Adam. And as such, he can breathe the breath of life back into Lazarus. You see, life from the dead already exists in Jesus. Jesus is the guarantee and certainty of life immortal and everlasting joy. Jesus is the heart and the center of our life with the Father. He is our redemption and our freedom from the grip of sin and the grip of death. As the resurrection, and again, as the resurrection, Jesus is the one through whom and in whom our separation from God is overcome. In and of himself, Jesus is the one who overcomes death and gives life. We all face death in our lives, whether it's our parents or our children or our loved ones or relatives or friends. We all face death in our lives. And even that, we face our own death. Because unless Jesus returns in glory before we come to death, each and every one of us is going to face our own death. But we can face our own death with confidence that because of our Lord's death and resurrection, and because of our connection to Jesus Christ through faith and his work on our behalf, we have life everlasting. Will we close our eyes in sleep when our body stops working? Yes, we will. But will we die? No. We will live forever. Our soul will speed its way to heaven, there to bask in the joy and the glory of the throne room of God Almighty. And we will be in the presence of God and the Lamb until that day when Christ shouts forth with the trumpet blast of heaven and the voice of the archangel. And on that day, the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we also shall rise from our own graves to meet the Lord in the air. As Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now all rise for prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Heavenly Father, in baptism you have given the new birth of water and the Spirit. Make your children strong in your Spirit that they may shun the works of the flesh and live in this world expecting the resurrection and the life of the world to come. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, soften the hearts of your people in every home. Turn parents and children towards each other in love and patience. Banish the spirit of impudence, stubbornness, and rebellion from all. Sanctify us in your truth. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O great Redeemer, we hope in you, for with you is steadfast love, and with you is redemption. We cry to you on behalf of those suffering affliction. Especially do we pray for Steve Shoemaker as he continues to undergo medical testing. And we also pray for all those who are awaiting medical test results and looking for a path toward health. Assure them that their iniquities have been washed away in Christ and their sins are forgiven in his blood. Grant them healing and relief from their burdens according to your will. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Gracious Father, your Son is the resurrection and the life, in whom all the dead will rise and through whom your elect will live eternally in your presence. Give, we ask you, a greater measure of faith to Dave Opperman and his family as they mourn the death of Dave's sister, Janet. Comfort, O Lord, Janet's family in their grief with the certainty of the resurrection, that they might not grieve as those who have no hope, but as those whose hope is in the crucified and risen one. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Lord, God Almighty, through your Son you have kept the promise of the ages, and you have rescued us from sin. You have raised up a people captive to death, and you have made us alive in Christ forever. Sustain us in this hope, that we may endure the tests and the trials and the troubles of this life, and be ready when our Savior comes again in his glory, Through that Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for the singing of our offertory. Your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is number 427, In the Cross of Christ I Glory, hymn number 427 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Of announcements here. First of all, for the junior and senior high youth groups today, for those who have turned in their permission slips and their money to go to Upper Limits this afternoon, you're asked to meet in the parking lot, I'm assuming the back parking lot, at 1:15 p.m., and you should return around 4:30, 5 o'clock. That's at 1:15 p.m. in the parking lot and return around 4:30 or 5 o'clock. Also have been asked to announce that on April 11th from 8 a.m. to noon is church spring cleaning. That'll be indoor and outdoor spring cleaning. So that's April 11th, 8 a.m. till noon. And also today is a voters meeting in between services this morning, starting around 9:10. So I got my watch today. It's driving me bonkers. So I have no idea what time it is. So another 15 minutes or something like that. So may the Lord bless all of you. May He bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.